Now, more of Out and About on Icicle.
Glad you could join us. Out and About correspondent Jenny Pryor takes us along as she descends nearly a mile below the Earth's surface. Jenny, tell us all about it.
Since the beginning of time, man has been fascinated with caves. Cold and creepy, dark and drippy, caves hold the secret to life underground, where bats hang upside down and spiders scurry across the encrusted walls. Well, now that I've scared myself half to death, it's time to descend into the 1,800-foot-long Boyd Cavern near Bend, Oregon. My guide is David Nissen.
We just entered into the mouth of the cave. Wherever you have an opening to a cave, that is the mouth. And this mouth was probably created due to an earthquake sometime many, many years ago. Exactly. You can see all the debris from that hole strewn around the opening right here. And all you need is one little keystone to let loose, and then the whole blob comes falling down, and then we're able to discover this cave. Yeah, there's hundreds of caves out here, to be sure. Most of them we've never discovered, simply because they haven't had any roof collapse to create the mouth to allow us to come down in here.
So we're descending into the cave, and there are about eight of us, single file. I'm already losing the person in front of me, but I have my light on my miner's helmet, and I'm going to adjust it a little bit here so I can get a more focused light with my headlamp. The group here is at the end of the first passageway now. We're being asked if we're going to see bats here today.
Yeah, there are bats down here, and you know, you're not going to see them right now because your eyes aren't adjusted to the darkness yet. But yeah, you're going to see bats doing their thing, hanging upside down from the ceiling, as all good bats do. And most of these are brown bats, and what we really hope to see are Townsend long-eared bats, also called Western long-eared bats.
They don't ever attack people then?
That's a myth, yeah. No, bats don't want anything to do with you. Yeah, that's
me personally, or
all of us. Yeah, bats could care less about us, and they're just, you know, we kill bats. Bats don't hurt us. We kill bats all the time because of our invasiveness as human beings.
Now, would we see any spiders? Because I really don't want to get near those.
Yeah, there's an endemic spider down here called the Harvest Man that we might get ever so lucky to see. That would be awesome.
Mm-hmm. How deep is this cave, and how far will it extend?
The length of this cave is 1,880 feet long, and will eventually be about just a little under 100 feet under the earth when we're at the back of the cave.
Is there ever any danger at all of it caving in?
I suppose the risk exists, but this cave is about 150,000 years old, and I've been coming in here for 14 years, and I've not yet gotten to see.
Do the math.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think we're okay today. So yeah, well, let's keep on going here, troops.
You really got to watch where you're walking here.
Yeah, you do. You got to kind of watch your...
Tripped a couple of times already. I'm going to direct my light down.
Yeah, did you get it pointed down?
Yeah, I've got it pointed down and spread out.
That's
yeah.
Good. Yes, you're good.
Okay, because we're really getting into some jagged rock now. Is there just one way in and one way out with this cave?
That is right. Yep. Where we go in, we have to go back out again.
Mm-hmm. And this was a little lava tube here. Lava flowed down here, and it created almost like a little riverbed. It extends about 100 feet or so. It's all jagged lava rock, so we have to wear jeans and sweatshirts, and we even have gloves that we're going to put on here in a minute.
Come a little ways further down the cave, you're going to see tons of sand on the bottom of the cave down there. That obviously didn't come from the mouth. It came from the cracks above us. That desert sand will begin to filter down through those cracks, littering the floor in some areas.
Wow. Okay. Now we're really doing some navigating on the rocks here. Going around the lip. Everything's so jagged. Lose your balance and you really hurt yourself. Oops. You can hear that. I'm telling you, if I saw a bat, I think I'd drop this equipment. Whoa. I almost hit my head on the shelf above me now. That's how narrow it's getting here. I'm going to have to almost bend myself in half and get through this one section and over. Okay, now I can almost stand up. Oh, that was my cave takes a significant drop down here. I keep shining my light in David's poor eyes. I forget that it's up there. Oh, now it's, wow, everybody's got theirs off now. It's like a Girl Scout camping trip. Tell us some bat stories.
Yeah, bat story. Bats are good. There's two types of bats on Earth, you guys. One type of bat is called an insect-eating bat, and then there are fruit-eating bats. And here in Central Oregon, we only have insect-eating bats. And one of these little bats, and you know, you guys, these bats weigh about an ounce. They're tiny little guys, and they'll take out nonetheless 1,000 mosquitoes a night in their foraging. So if you don't like mosquitoes, you gotta love bats. And the whole mythology surrounding bats and getting in your hair and biting you and giving you rabies is such a crock, you know.
With those blood-sucking little rodents.
We've certainly done a disservice and an injustice towards our bats, and it's important to stay out of caves like this because the cave is used as a hibernaculum, that is to say a place to sleep throughout the winter. Bats have to hibernate. If you're an insect-eating bats and you live in Central Oregon, you know that in the wintertime there's no such thing as bugs flying around. They die out. And so the bats say, well, if there's no food, I'm just going to go to sleep. And so they do. And the cave is a constant temperature. It's a constant 45 degrees, which is a pretty darn comfortable spot for a bat whose metabolism slows down to next to nothing. And it simply roosts on the roof of the cave. And when spring comes along, they wake up and they can find food again because more mosquitoes and other insects, moths, etc., have hatched and they have a food supply.
You hear stories about late spring or the time of the year when it warms up and a mouth of a cave suddenly being full of bats flying out. Does that happen here?
You don't see that spectacular display of nature like you do down in Texas, for example, where you'll see a million bats fly out of the cave or out from underneath a bridge every night. That doesn't exist here. You know, we're talking numbers like in the 30s. We might have 30 bats in a cave nowadays. Boyd Cave, last year, scientists recorded 2 bats in here. So it's devastatingly low for our bat colonies.
Anybody want to turn a light on? Probably not. Are we going down in that?
Yeah, this is what I call the ladder here, you guys, and it's just a nice 7-foot drop off.
Well, I had to turn off the microphone for a section of this because we were on our bellies crawling through a very narrow lava tube. But we made it all the way to the end of the cave, and now we're heading back. And we ran into a couple of guys when we were on our way back in this cave, and they did not have helmets on. One of them bashed his head on the lava ceiling, which is very low in some spots. And just like cutting yourself on a coral reef, he was very bloody. They also had a dog in here, which is against the law. And I feel sorry for that dog because his paws were certainly cut up on this jagged lava rock. Well, one thing's for sure, I am going to love that shower when we get back. If you come caving after listening to this, and I would highly recommend it because it's great, you might want to bring some knee pads and maybe elbow pads. We were crawling on our belly for a section, and I've got some new bruises that I didn't think I could get in spots that I've never had bruises before. Well, I've just about lost everybody I was with. I started thinking when I was sitting in the cave and it was totally pitch black, no sound, what would happen if you got stuck in here? If your flashlight went out and you were all alone? That's a pretty scary thought. Would you wait for a tour group to come through or someone else? Or would you try to feel your way out? Could be days before someone comes into here. I think you'd have to feel your way out. Here's the rest of the group. You can see a tiny bit of the first light we've seen, natural light,
exactly,
since we came down here.
So you guys, when we first came down in, this is about where we stood, and I chatted a little bit about the formation of the cave. Your eyes were never adjusted well enough to see that light from the mouth. It's really very cool stuff.
Well, what an awesome experience.
It is great to be here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Nice day.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. What would a round of applause sound like in here?
Yeah. Well, with gloves on, huh?
And if people want to come caving out here in Central Oregon, how can they get a hold of you, David?
Oh, yeah. I mean, so Wanderlust Tours is the company, wanderlusttours.com. Would probably be the easiest way to get there. But, find our 800 number on the website. And, of course, you can drop us an email from the website and call anyone in Central Oregon. They all know about us.
Bend, Oregon is not only a great place for caving, it's close to the Cascade Mountain Range, with super skiing at Mount Bachelor and over 120 lakes to explore. The Deschutes River runs right through Bend for fantastic fishing and kayaking and rafting. And Bend was just named the best adventure town in America by Men's Journal. For more information on this outstanding outdoor playground, log on to www.visitbend.com.
Out and About continues in a moment on Icicle.